portion of God's Word to which we draw our attention is taken from the first letter of St. John, the first chapter beginning at verse 5. "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. He might as well have had dynamite strapped around his chest while carrying a jug of nitroglycerin and running down a Rocky Mountain trail at night during a blinding snowstorm. The doctor had repeatedly warned him, "Fred, if you don't cut back on all of the junk that you're eating and at least get some exercise, you're just a heart attack waiting to happen." Now, given Fred's current medical state and his family medical history, Fred knew that the doctor was probably right. But he didn't change. "Bring on the donuts," he thought to himself. "Bring on the pizza and the quarter pounders with cheese. And what right does that doctor have to say that I don't get exercise? I exercise my remote hand pretty well." Problem was, Fred wasn't just a couch potato. He was a deep-fried couch tater tot. And not too long after that last warning of the doctor, the inevitable happened. His arteries squeezed shut all the way, cutting off the blood to his heart. And he put up a fight, somewhat to no avail. Fred died. Now, what was Fred's problem? Really, it wasn't his horrendous eating habits and his lack of exercise. Fred's problem was that he refused to see that he had a problem. Now, are you going to let a similar thing happen to you? I'm not here this morning to give you tips on how to have a heart-healthy diet or to come up with an intentional exercise program for yourself. What I am here to tell you is that, first of all, you have to own up to your problem of sin. John said, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." In John's day, there were so-called Christians that were making that claim. They thought that they had no inherent sin. And while you might not be that bold, so bold as to actually claim to be without sin, don't you come close at times close to believing that? Well, of course not. We're good at saying those words, "I'm a sinner, I know I'm a sinner, we're all sinners." But somewhere in our mind, even if it's tucked back in some remote corner, we have thoughts like this: "Yes, I'm a sinner, but at least I'm not as bad as he is. Yes, I know I can't stand the sight of her, but it's not like I'm going to kill her or anything. I didn't really cheat, at least not that much to make a difference. That stoplight, it wasn't red. It was pink, maybe, but definitely not red." Denying it doesn't change it. Our inherited sin, and all the times that we act on that sin, for that matter, it's like the proverbial elephant sitting in the room. It's there. We can't deny it. We have to admit it. John says, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When's the last time you confessed your sins? Was it last night when you prayed the Lord's Prayer? This morning when you got up? Maybe when you came and sat down here in chapel? Maybe sometime last week when you asked your friend to forgive you for those angry words offered in spite? Maybe yesterday or over the weekend when you went to church? If we want God's forgiveness of our sins, we have to admit them. We have to confess them. God can't forgive them if we don't bring them to Him. And whether that forgiveness comes when we pray privately to God, or the pastor announces forgiveness to us, or our friend tells us that she forgives us, it's the same forgiveness. It's God's forgiveness coming to us as bright as the sun on a noontime summer day. But how can we be so sure? How can we be sure that God is going to forgive us? Very simply, God keeps His word. Now, in this life, we're not necessarily used to that. When we hear something that sounds too good to be true, we might have a hard time believing it. That guy who's trying to sell you the car that tells you that, well, my grandmother is the only one who drove it, and that was only to church on Sundays. And then you find out that grandma drives like a race car driver. Or maybe this person who says, I'll love you forever, darling. That is, as long as the feelings last. Or the person who says, hey, I'd never do anything to hurt you. You're my friend. Which holds true for as long as you don't do anything to upset that friend. But God's promises, God's word is different. His promises are not just fleeting thoughts of good intentions. God first made the promise to you to forgive your sins in the garden, right after sin entered the world. He promised to send someone who was going to come and crush the head of Satan. And we know He fulfilled that promise. When He sent Jesus, His own Son, Jesus came to this world to take care of sin once and for all. He lived a sinless life in our place. He died a sinner's death in our place. And then to prove that He had conquered the devil, that He had conquered sin and death, He rose from the dead, all for you. And through His blood, He cleanses you of your sin. John said, the blood of God's Son cleanses us from all sin. Now, we don't normally think that way about blood, that it makes a good cleanser. We think of blood and we think of it as being sticky and messy and gross, and it stains. Blood was a part of the Old Testament worship, where they were constantly slaughtering animals and collecting the blood in bowls and throwing it on the altar, sprinkling it over the people. We don't do that nowadays. Aren't you glad that we don't have to do that same thing? Or do we? The writer of the Hebrews tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Shed blood is necessary in God's system, in His framework of forgiveness. But we don't have to shed blood anymore because the ultimate sacrifice, the final blood sacrifice, has been made. When God looked at that sacrifice that His Son made, that willing sacrifice, He said, no more. All sins are taken care of. All sacrifices are done. And that truth of God's forgiveness through that sacrifice is the truth that it's applied to you every time that you say, please forgive me. That truth doesn't change. God isn't going to change the rules at some point and say that there's a new system, a new set of rules that you have to obey in order to receive forgiveness. Jesus met all of God's requirements. He met them all in your place. There's nothing more that you have to do. You have forgiveness of all of your sin through Jesus Himself. Bask in that forgiveness today and always. Amen.